For more than 80 years, the Seminary Tea Committee has brought together priests, seminarians, and people in the community to help support them, to help support vocations in the Archdiocese of Portland. Well, that tea is coming up again very soon. They are inviting the community to join them on Wednesday, May 7th at the Portland Golf Club from 3 to 6 o'clock to help to support them in vocations. Joining us today to tell us about how important it's been to have the support of the Seminary T in his own academic and spiritual life, I'm joined by Mauricio Duran. He is a seminarian here in the Archdiocese of Portland. He's attending Mount Angel Abbey and joining me today to tell us more about his vocation. Good morning, Mauricio. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Good morning, Brenda. Thanks for having me here.
I often talk on the air about how we never quite know what's around the corner. We can see what's in front of us, but lo and behold, God has a plan for us, and mm-hmm. he puts a curve in there, mm-hmm. and then we realize we're on another path. Your mm-hmm. life has been kind of a journey. So kind of share with our listeners a little bit about how coming from Los Angeles and then growing up in Oregon, how God has led you to becoming a seminarian now.
Yeah, 27 years young, and I feel like I'm about 50 years old. So I was born in Los Angeles. I was only there for about 2 or 3 years old. I was a toddler when my family moved up. Growing up in Amity, Oregon, very rural town. My high school was about 260 kids, and wow. So it was very, I don't want to say like sheltered or, but My world was pretty small. And in St. James, my parish, just 10 minutes down the road in McMinnville, you need to go from a town of about 1,500 people to about 35,000, just 10 minutes down the road. For me, that was the large town, big town, mm-hmm. small city. And I always kind of wondered what else was out there, especially being born in Los Angeles, having a lot of family. You hear about the big city, LA Galaxy, Los Angeles Lakers, you hear about these big things. And I always wonder to myself, would I ever get out of this small pond? Would I ever kind of go somewhere bigger where it's, I always thought I'd be a, professional soccer player, play for Team USA.
Big dreams.
Kind of want to go back to the city and see what that life is kind of about. But growing up in Amity, my parents have been there for over 20 years. And I think just kind of being in such a small town, it helped me out a lot with humility, to be honest. It kind of kept me very grounded because I was there from second grade to my sophomore year in high school. My class was about 60 kids.
Mm.
And I had every year with the same friends every single year for the next 10 years. So my small, my friend group was... And it rarely changed. So get to see those same people, to have those same relationships, to have those same friendships. It was nothing superficial because they know me, I know them. And so as much as I wanted to do something grandioso, mm-hmm. I'm not sure how else to put it, there was always a part of me that wanted to kind of be low key and kind of be a part of the community, be really with the people. As much as I wanted to, do social media content, kind of be top dog, really wanted to be kind of low key and really just be, just a server in the community.
Okay.
Amity, Oregon, as much as I like traveling as much as the other places that I've been, coming back home for spring break or for summer vacation, just being back in that small little town, it's just a nice breath of fresh air. It's just real, it keeps me grounded again. It kind of helps me realize that you don't have to do big things, great things to be a saint. You don't have to do, have your name in the lights or have so many different followers to have an impact. It's just kind of the day-to-day things with the people that you see around you.
On behalf of, I believe, the people that you will one day serve as a priest, for all of us to have a person like you to be our priest, to lead us to heaven, Well, that's the greatest thing of what you can do versus maybe watching you on the grass, you know, playing soccer. While that's wonderfully entertaining, our goal is to get to heaven. And it is through our priests that we attain that. If you are just tuning in, Mauricio Duran is joining me today to tell us a little bit about his vocation and to also ask you to support vocations by attending this year's Seminary Tea. Mauricio, then leading up to going through those high school years, when was that first feeling like you thought, I think God's calling me to be a priest? Or was it really you had a life maybe as a family, as a father and as a husband? Was that kind of your big dream goal then growing up when you were reaching those high school years in Amity?
Yeah, it was my dream. I wanted to be married and have a kid by 25. Ideally at 25.
Okay.
So by the time I turn 50, hopefully my kid would have a child at 25. So I just kind of wanted to be 50 years old, have a child at 25 at when they're 25, and have a grandchild when I'm 50. So just kind of 0, 25, 50, build up like that. At St. James in McMinnville. This was my sophomore year in college, about 2018, 2017. But Father Peter then was Deacon Peter Julia.
Okay.
And he was serving at my parish. And I was just sitting in the pews one day and I saw him up at the Ambo. And I remember thinking, they make them that young? Like, priests are young? And that was something very new to me, to see kind of like a younger guy up there. And, you know, I've seen him around. I've heard him talk. And this guy's pretty cool. You know, he's cool. I didn't think about priesthood until many years later. I was about 23 or 24 years old. You know, going through college, after college, I'd still go to church, you know, on my own, you know, still, you know, somewhat involved. But priesthood, no, they didn't. It hit me pretty late. It hit me really late. And before entering the seminary, I was actually working at a funeral home for 3 years. And at the end of my, you know, funeral career or funeral profession, I was actually a licensed funeral director.
Okay.
And so being there for that amount of time, I matured a lot, kind of, you know, being in that profession, you think about life a lot.
Absolutely.
And what's after, you know, the funeral? What happens to me, Mauricio, once I'm 6 feet under? You know, as 22, 23 years old and just kind of thinking about these things. And I also thought, you know, am I going to be here working in this profession for the rest of my life? Is there going to be other things in store for me? And so when I started thinking about long term, what is going to be the life of Mauricio when I'm 30, when I'm 40, am I going to have children? Am I going to, you know, try to be a hot shot in the big city? But I had a lot of good mentors along the way.
Sure.
And I'm thankful, because for the longest time, I felt like a sheep without a shepherd. I felt like there was just, you know, I was looking for a mentor, for a coach, for someone just to kind of show me the map to life and say, hey, kid, this is where you go. This is the direction you're supposed to head into. Because growing up, there was a lot of people who were like, hey, you got potential. You know, you're going to make something of your life, or you're going to, whatever you do, you're going to be great. But as, you know, as encouraging as that was, there was no direction.
Wow.
No direction. So again, it just felt like a sheep just kind of wandering, and who's there to guide me, to help this potential actualize? And then when I was working at the funeral home, there's a gentleman from my parish, and he was like, oh, what you're doing is a ministry. I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, yeah, you know, it's a corporal work of mercy.
That's right.
Bury the dead. You're also, you know, consoling the afflicted. And he's like, that's what you're doing. Like, it's a ministry. Like, keep it up.
Mauricio Duran joining us today to share a little bit about his vocation story and also how the Seminary T Committee supports vocations. Mauricio, I've had a wonderful time talking with you today. I'd love to know more about your journey to the priesthood through seminary, but I am already up against my break. Can you stay with me through the break so we can continue in our next half hour?
I'd be glad to.
And I am back with Mauricio Duran. He is a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Portland. He's joining us today to tell us a little bit more about his vocation story and also to share how the Seminary T Committee supports him in so many ways, especially through prayer. That T is coming up on Wednesday, May 7th from 3 to 6 p.m. Tickets are available on their webpage now. Mauricio, thanks so much for staying with me today.
No, of course. My pleasure. And, you know, one thing I do want to share, kind of more, a little more critical piece into a lot of discernment includes prayer. Mm-hmm. Without prayer, discernment is, I'd say, almost nearly impossible. Once I actually started praying and reading scripture, things became a lot more clear. But again, I was kind of feeling like a sheep without a shepherd. And I found one time just sitting in church, and I was desperate. I'll be honest. I was desperate.
Oh, gosh.
And I just kind of looked at the cross, and I said, you know, Lord, if I can't even plan out my own life, like if I can't plan these last few years, things have gone pretty wrong, then how am I supposed to plan the next 50? How am I supposed to, you know, make myself happy? And I said, you know, Psalm 20, if it's true what Psalm 23 says, that you're the good shepherd and you'll lead me to green pastures and to restful waters, I'll be your sheep and just please lead me. And then shortly after, I was reading the parable of the servant and the talents. You know, the parable where, you know, the master gives one servant 5 talents, the next servant 3 talents, and the other servant 1 talent. And I was reading that. And it really like penetrated my heart, because this is where it really, my world turned upside down, because I felt like that one servant with the single talent. Because deep down, I felt like God's given me some gifts. He's given me some grace. There is potential, but I just feel like I'm wasting it. All these things that I have so much ambition, it's gotten me nowhere. So much things that I know I can do, but I've just sat on them. And I actually reached out to Archbishop Sample. I mean, hopefully this is not giving too much away, but I reached out to him because he was doing a confirmation mass in my parish, and I snuck into sacristy and started talking to him. And I was like, hey, I'm not sure what I'm doing with my life, and I just feel like I'm squandering it. I know God's given me something, but I have no idea where to even go. I'm not sure what I'm doing here. I just know that you confirmed me. You just seem like the right person to talk to.
Sure.
You're a man of God. I'm not even sure you can give me any advice right now, but I don't know. Pray for me.
What did he say?
He's like, for a young man like you to have some self-reflection, and it's pretty mature of you. I'll keep you in my prayers, son. And don't be discouraged. And he gave me a blessing. And then that was April 2022. And then about some months later went by. He wrote me a letter, and he sent it to my work.
Wow.
Yeah.
He remembered you.
He remembered me. You know, through God's providence. And that letter is super brief, but at the very end of it, he says, I suspect the Lord is calling you to be a priest, but that's not for me to decide. That's up to you and the Holy Spirit to discern, you know, in Christ. At that moment, all right, well.
Amazing.
I'm not sure what priesthood is. I'm not sure what that means, but that's what the man said, so that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, it's amazing what other people can see in us that we don't see for ourselves. That's a wonderful story, not to mention a wonderful impression of our Archbishop.
Yeah. You know, little by little, you know, I was kind of drawn to the Bible. You know, I'd still go to Mass. I'd go to two Masses on the weekends. I'd go to 9 a.m. in English, and then again at 12 at noon in Spanish with my parents. So I'd just kind of hang around the church most of the day. And so just hearing the gospel over and over again in English and in Spanish, and it's just kind of waiting for a miracle.
Mm.
Just kind of waiting for my fate to change. But little did I know that, you know, as much as God wants to help us, we also have to move and act as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
And move and act you did. And through mentorship, you applied and ended up becoming a seminarian for the Archdiocese. Now, where are you at as far as your academic work for in the seminary?
So I just completed my propedeutic year last year. So since I have my bachelor's degree, I'm in a master's philosophy program.
Okay.
So it's 2 years of philosophy and then 4 years of theology.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How exciting. Those seminarians at Mount Angel and throughout the seminaries where our archdiocese send our men to become priests, the Seminary Tea Committee is there helping them. Mauricio Duran is joining us today to tell us a little bit about his vocation and to share how important it is to have the support of the work of the Seminary Tea Committee. Mauricio, one of the ways that the Seminary T helps support vocations is obviously through the fundraising of the upcoming event. Again, that's coming up Wednesday, May 7th.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also through a program called Partners in Faith.
Mm-hmm.
And you've talked about the mentors that you have had that led you to the seminary. But now that you're there, well, there are people that pray for you on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
We all have difficult days, and it's through prayer that we get through those difficult days. Kind of tell our listeners how important it's been to have those partners in faith, those women and men who are sending you cards, who are praying for you daily, that lend you the support you need this year.
You hear it sometimes when people say, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. And there are some days you make it to the end of the evening and you think, and I think, wow, that was surprisingly not that bad of a day. As terrible as I felt in the morning, I actually, like, the day got better.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't explain it.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, there's no explanation besides the fact that someone was actually asking for grace for us. They were asking, they're asking the Lord, they're praying for us. The Partners in Faith, the Seminary T, when they personally, when you see them, because we see them about twice a year at the Hilltop, once each semester. And then when they say, Mauricio, hey, I've been praying for you. Each day, I have a certain day of the week that I'm praying for you, for your health, for your family, for your studies, to make sure that, you know, that you persevere, that you have a good time in seminary. And you thank them, you give them a hug, turn around and there's another person. Mauricio, here's a card for you. I've been praying for you. You've been in my prayers for health, for your family, for your friends, for your studies. And it really, and then at midterms, once I've established a friendship with many of these people, and then we'll come around midterm season too. I let some of them know, I reach out. It's midterm season, or I got this essay coming up. You know, please pray for me. Keep me in your prayers. And it's the same thing too, where and there we've gotten to, you know, a good relationship, a good friendship. Where there's a couple of people in particular where, you know, they're going through some troubles. Hey, you know, something's come up. Can you please pray for me, or keep me and my spouse in your prayers? Or I'm looking forward to sell my house or to apply for this other opportunity. Keep me in your prayers. And it's a nice relationship to have. And again, we're not meant to go about this life alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of community, not just in the secular world, but also in church. We're supposed to be, you know, praying for each other, encouraging one another. And it's a great opportunity because these ladies, I mean, they really care. They really want to see us succeed. But most importantly, they want to, you know, be a part of our formation. And what better part than part? I mean, if they can't be a part of other dimensions, why not help out in the spiritual dimension? And that's a huge blessing. They do it from the goodness of their heart. They don't expect anything in return. accept our effort.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's just wonderful to hear how Seminary T is supporting you, supporting your vocations, and especially during your prayer life. Mauricio, thanks so much for sharing your story and about how, well, you let God dream bigger for you, and boy, you can accomplish so much more. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
And again, that is Mauricio Duran, a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Portland. Again, the whole community is invited, men and women, to join the Seminary T. It is coming up Wednesday, May 7th from 3 to 6 o'clock p.m. at the Portland Golf Club. Tickets are on sale now at their webpage. And you can find out more information. I will add the links that will get you right to that admissions page. You'll find the link on the podcast of today's interview at materdeiradio.com and, of course, on the Hail Mary Media app.